Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Last week, if you were here, it may make more sense of the Star Wars stuff. We did talk about Star Wars a little bit. We talked about where we pray from. And we pray from our position in Christ and not our perceptions that we see. And I'm telling you, I feel like, I've told Pastor Clark this, I said every single time I preach on a message like that, I feel like right after that, God gets to see if I really believed it or not, you know? So it was like all this past week, it was like, okay, like let's get to see if these words were true. And so I'm going to follow up last week's message with a message this morning on strength, because this is another area that I believe that I personally need to hear about, okay? So sometimes I'm preaching to myself, and I hope you guys get something out of it, I guess. little joke. The deceit of strength. My son, he has a way of saying this. He calls it his strong, okay? He's my little muscle man, you know. He was probably like 3 years old, and he got this cold. And he came into our bedroom and he said, "Daddy, I've lost my strong." You know, it was the cutest thing ever. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm like, "Dude, you're still strong," but he's like, "Daddy, I lost my strong." I said, "Why'd you lose your strong?" And he said, "Well, I've got a cold. You know, I'm sick. You know," and so we prayed that his strong would come back, and it did. And he came back at a certain point and he goes, "I got my strong back, Daddy." He's like, "See?" And he shows me his muscles. You know. And it's so cute, you know. At the same time, I sit there and I go, man, that sounds exactly like me, you know. I don't say it as I lost my strong. I just drive everybody crazy around me because I start complaining about everything. You know, Gabby puts up with quite a bit around here at the office. You know, all of us know that feeling of things are going great and then something happens and you suddenly feel like your strength has just been taken from you. I think a lot of times, you know, I go into my prayer closet or whatever you want to call it. You know, you go pray, spend some time with God, and then you pray for strength. And then you walk out and you go rely on your own strength. You know, I've done that many times. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about the deceit of strength, how our strength here on this planet can be very deceiving. When I was about 12 years old, I remember riding my bike. I had this really cool little blue bike. And this bike, this was back during the days when there was one speed, like there wasn't 10 speeds or whatever else. Like there was one speed. It was as fast as your legs could move, you know. And so I had this little blue, like, huffy bike or whatever. It was awesome. It got stolen. I was really sad. But anyway, I had this bike. And if there's one thing I know about guys and our strength, it comes in great abundance when a woman is present. Like, when a girl is present, I can be the strongest man in the world, you know, whether I think so or not. And I remember being 12 years old, and there was a girl down at the bottom of this hill. And so I thought, I'm going to impress her, you know, by showing her how fast I can go down the hill on this bike. And so I'm waving to her, hey, you know, and I start booking it down this hill on this bike going as fast as I can. Well, the problem is, this is back during those times when, again, there was one speed. If you pushed back on the pedals, it would stop, you know. If you got going so fast, maybe you've been there, but the pedals started going so fast, my legs couldn't keep up. And so here I am trying to impress this girl at 12 years old or whatever. I'm cruising down this hill, and my legs started going so fast that my foot left the pedal and got wedged right up where the wheel meets the metal frame, okay? In case you studied science, this is not going to work out, okay? And so shoved it up in there, went straight over the handlebars. I mean, I went to a dead stop, okay? So that bike, at least the way the story seems in my head now, I mean, it flipped through the air a good 100 times, you know? I mean, it went flying. I did a couple of flips. I ended up crashing on the asphalt, and if you've ever hit asphalt at all, it really hurts. And I did it on my face, and so I rode the asphalt on my face, and of course, I get up, and I'm strong. So I stood up, you know, and the girl was there, and I'm like, I'm fine, you know, like, just another day, you know. Until I saw my dad, who was over at the house, and he's looking at me with these huge eyes, and he's like, get inside, and so I kind of, you know, sauntered away or whatever. I'm like, see you later. And then as I got closer to the house, it began setting in. My face is really wet, okay? And it was blood, okay? Like, my whole face was bloody. That poor girl's probably scarred for life. And I go in the house, and I thought I was so strong until my dad looked at me and he said, Javen, this is going to hurt. I've got to clean out the wound, okay? And as soon as that water hit it, I just saw some of you actually grimace, you know, at the very, very thought. You know how bad that feels. And I screamed, you know, I'm sure any attempt at being strong was gone. That girl outside was like, yeah, that's what I thought, you know. And I'm screaming. It hurts so bad. We think we're strong until we aren't. And I've done this in other areas of my life as well. If I was being honest, there's been a lot of times in my life where I don't enjoy relying on other people, okay? Is there anybody else, my self-sufficient crowd, people? Okay, I hate, like, if I even mention the word group project, how many of you guys are like, duh, you know, like, college, you know, like, I mean, I don't like relying on other people. I like being self-sufficient. I learned half the instruments on the stage, not because I wanted to be cool, but because I got tired of depending on other people. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go learn drums. I'm going to go learn how to play bass, because I knew I needed to do it, right? I'm so used to working out of my own strength. I don't like relying on other people. But here's the problem, is that this is actually a human condition, in that we seek to be self-sufficient. We don't like the idea of having to rely on God. It's built into this earthly existence, is that we like to be self-sustained. In fact, that's where we got ourselves in trouble in the garden, right? Is we didn't want to depend on God to tell us what was right and wrong. We wanted to do it for ourselves. We're human in this way. And religion is based off of this as well. What must I do to get into heaven? What is the things that where my strength is needed? If not for salvation, if we believe that our salvation comes from grace alone, at least it's in the keeping of my salvation, right? And my strength needed to overcome, my strength needed to modify my behavior in such a way that I would not lose my salvation, right? We this is where religious thought comes from. That God's favor and his strength are contingent upon something that I would do. And what this did for a person like me is it caused me to approach God always never feeling like I had enough. Because you look at your own strength, you look at who you are, and you feel like you'll never measure up, you'll never have enough. And so I pushed myself harder and harder and harder. And in my strength, what could I do? I don't want to appear weak. I don't like looking vulnerable. I don't know if anybody really does. But I didn't like any of those things, and so I convinced myself that my strength, both here in the natural and the spiritual, was what was needed. We base it off the resources that we have available to us at our disposal, and every single one of us do this every day. Let me ask you something. Right now in this room, I know there are some of us that are working through some things that are larger than life, that are very heavy, they're very hard to deal with. And if you look to your own strength, your own happy thoughts, your own positive thinking, or whatever else you want to try, right, you'll find that it's not enough. It's not. And so for those of us, though, that are in the room this morning and life is actually great, you're not going through anything and you're like, man, Christmas could not have been better. I got everything I wanted and I can't wait for 2016. It looks great. I just want to challenge you with one thought. Why are you convinced of that? Right? Why are we convinced that 2016? What place are you basing that confidence off of? Is 2016 going to be a good year because you believe nothing bad will happen? Or is it based out of the fact that, God, you go with me? No matter what I face in 2016, you are there. You are the source of my strength. So I already know it's going to be a fantastic year no matter what happens. Where does your confidence come from this morning? The Bible says it is by grace that we have been saved. And I want to say this morning that it is also that same grace that sustains us. This little baby appears in a manger, right? We just celebrated this. I love the way Leslie Chambers, if you missed the Christmas Eve service, she shared this story. She wrote, she kind of, the Twas the Night Before Christmas sort of deal, but she totally wrote it herself. And it was incredible. And I love this one moment where she says that Mary stared grace in the face. And I love that because Jesus is grace personified in a form that we can see, right? John, when he sees Jesus, he says, we saw grace. Grace came and he changed everything. It's the exact opposite of what the flesh wanted, right? We like merited favor. And here we are staring in the face unmerited favor. God, what you have done. And so my self-sufficient cravings, they never satisfy. They never are enough. Because we were created to receive and constantly be sustained by his strength and his grace that he gives us. Jesus is the source for everything. And this morning, as we kind of work through this message, that's what I want you to focus on is, Jesus, I want you to be the source of everything for me in my life moving forward this next year. A little bit on grace, in case you're visiting with us this morning or you wonder why they say grace like every couple of words in or whatever. let me explain this just a little bit. Grace is to be taken advantage of, okay? Now, I love saying that because what somebody will hear, if you're thinking from more of a religious mindset, you might think that what I just said is go sin like crazy, God doesn't care. No, in fact, it's not that at all. That's immaturity. No, grace is to be taken advantage of, right? It comes in abundance. God consistently giving you his grace as a source of strength. It comes from this word that means divine favor. It's the equivalent of somebody coming to you and saying, I want to pay all of your bills for 2016. And you didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to ask for it. Right? It's much greater than that, by the way, but that's just a weak example. Right? But it is God's divine nature, his divine power, his divine strength saying, I give this to you because I love you. It's not based off of anything that you will ever do. However, the problem is that there are some that believe, and as I once did, that grace can be taken advantage of in some kind of a negative sense. Let me challenge that this morning. I don't believe that's true at all. And let me challenge that by just going through some historical moments. Jesus comes to earth to love and to save us, right? He raises people from the dead. He heals our sick. He does all of these wonderful things, and then we kill him, right? We turned on him. And what did he do in that moment? Did he say, well, fine, forget it, I'm out of here. Like, you guys are a bunch of jerks. Like, no. Like, he didn't say that at all. And in fact, instead, he looks at us and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea. They're infants. They can't see what we can see. So, Father, I have forgiven them. Would you forgive them as well? It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Put yourself in that situation. And that's what God is capable of doing. His own closest friends betrayed him. I mean, almost all of them didn't even support him to the end. They all scattered. Peter, the one that was to have the church built upon him, rejected him 3 times. By most people's definitions today, you would say that's the unpardonable sin. He rejected Jesus. Well, Peter did it 3 times. And when Jesus sees Peter, does he go to Peter and put his faults in front of him? No. The first thing he does is he calls back out of Peter the love that he knows is in there, that he placed there. Right? He says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Jesus does everything completely opposite. Look, I'm absolutely convinced of this. If you tread on God's grace, he will just give you more of it. Because he's not insecure. He's not worried about you challenging his authority or who he is. Instead, he's more concerned with winning you over. And it's hard not to like somebody who keeps giving you grace and love. If you ever have someone in your life like that, you'll know what I mean. Grace is there when you need it most. It's only grace because we need it. He came for the sick. He didn't come for the righteous. They're already in him. But more than just means of our sanctification, our salvation, our being perfect in him, he is the source of all of our strength. Boy, if there was anybody who understood this, it was Paul. You know, last week we looked at how Paul was in prison, but that's not really where Paul's story began. Paul's story begins by God knocking him down. I mean, just seeing the glory, a piece of the glory. I don't know how much he saw, but in this moment, he falls to his knees and he's stricken blind. The same thing that Jesus had wished that the Pharisees were, right? Jesus said, I wish you guys were blind. Because there's something about when your strength gets taken from you, when you lose your faculties in some degree. A few years ago, I wasn't planning on sharing this story, but a few years ago, you know, we were playing a game in here with all the kids, you know, and I ran through there. I had this great idea. I had this awesome plan. It's a game of, like, tag, and it's in the dark. You know, nothing bad could possibly happen with no lights on in here. Gabby was on the other team, and she had her team over here, and I remember thinking, I'm going to run through here, and I had John or Luke, one of these guys that were hiding. They were going to jump up and tag her as she ran by, and she'd be out. So the trap was set. I booked it around here, and I came down here, and when I crossed right over there, my leg caught one of the chairs, and I went, like, totally horizontal into about 3 rows of chairs over there and blew out my knee, okay? Like, it's one of those moments you're in so much pain, you just lay there, and Gabby came over freaking out, and I'm like, don't touch me, just leave me alone, walk away, like, I just gotta lie here. And when something like that happens in your life, you quickly realize, like, okay, I can be taken out pretty easy, even by my own just stupidity. You know, he has a way. You know, and I blew out my knee. And there's something when something like that gets taken away from you, you suddenly realize I'm not as strong as I thought I was. In the same way, Paul thought the same thing. I mean, Paul was stricken blind in this moment. He can't see. He's now having to rely on other people. He's having to rely on God. Jesus said that about the Pharisees because they thought they were strong in their theology. They thought that their ideals and their understanding of Scripture was their source of their strength. He says, I wish you were blind so you could see. It's a very interesting thought. Paul had to rely on God, on his strength, and on his grace. The same grace that didn't crush Paul in that moment for doing all of the atrocities that Paul had been doing. Think about it. Paul was out persecuting Christians. The Bible says that he would take them out of their homes. He dragged people out of their homes. You know, I wonder how many times, like just to show you the opposite way that Christ always approaches everything than us. You know, so many times we get so up in arms, man. Like we see something coming up against the Christian nation or whatever, and our first response is, well, we need to stand up and we need to fight. I don't think so. I really don't. In the same way, right, here's Jesus doing the exact opposite. Instead of crushing Paul, he reaches out to Paul and says, hey, join the team. Come see the love that I have for you. And so from this place, we see 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 11. Follow along if you would. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Lots of comfort in there. Okay? Now, I love this. That we have unlimited comfort coming from the Father. When you are going through any affliction, any trial, any trouble, the source of your strength is from Him, and He gives it to you in abundance. But I love that it has an effect. And if you've been through some things, which if you're in this room, you have, right? You know that even as God does things in your life, it can have a greater impact around all of you, right? Around everybody around you. And so in the same way, the comfort or the encouragement, which that word also translates into, the encouragement that God gives us has an effect of encouraging others. I can't tell you how many times people have watched things that I've walked through, and they said, look, I'm going through something too, and just seeing how God did that in your life gives me the confidence that He'll do the same in mine. He's not a favor of persons. Let's keep going. For just as the sufferings of Christ are in ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Oh, skip down to where it says, For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from such so great a peril of death and will deliver us, He on whom we have set our hope. You know, for the people that say that God won't put you through anything that you can't handle or whatever, like this, Paul says the opposite. Paul says, no, it was so bad. It was so absolutely horrible in this place that we were in. We despaired life. In other words, our entire team already decided that we were dead men walking. We gave up on life. We gave up on trying and striving to fight against it in our own strength. And we just said, well, we're already dead. But good news, Jesus raises from the dead. Right? So even in the midst of death, even being dead men walking, we knew that our hope and where we kept our sight was not on this, it was on Him who could raise us up even if we die. What a powerful, powerful place to do life from. To stop looking at the world as our source of strength and instead looking at God going, God, there's nothing you can't do. There's absolutely nothing you can't do. You ever been in a place where you don't have much? The littlest, tiniest bit means a lot. And that's where they were at, where they were seeing God's hand in everything. It's funny how death, this topic of death, has a way of sort of bringing perspective to our lives. A year ago, to this day, I lost a close friend of mine. Maybe some of you guys remember I preached about it a little bit, about the peace that I was getting from God. And a year ago, it was interesting that what came from his passing was I started looking at all the things around me that I was taking so seriously. Some people that had hurt me, for example. All of us have been hurt before. But it's funny, when you come face to face with death, you realize, what is this all about? Like, what am I doing? This person, in my opinion, did me wrong. But I just realized in that moment, it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. I didn't want to die someday. My friend was only 36. I thought, well, my life's not guaranteed tomorrow either. And so, Lord, as you as my strength, you as my comfort, man, I want to go to this person and just make amends. And I did. And it was freeing, and it was awesome. Comfort, encouragement, it isn't found in the world, it's found in the hope that we have in God and His strength found. It's found in Him. He turns our sadness to joy. Who else could do that? Who here has the ability to turn sadness into joy? He makes all things work together for good. He holds the whole world in His hands. He even uses my affliction for glory. It's incredible. So in the midst of trial and trouble, which you will face, we can be encouraged. Not in our own strength, but in the power of His grace working through us in every single moment of every bit of trouble that we face. So there's four types of trouble that Paul faces, and I believe all of us here will face as well. The first one is insult, when people mock you based upon what you believe. We've all been there. I mean, just over Christmas, right? We're having Christmas dinner, and there's those of us in our family that don't quite believe yet, and I'm praying for them. But I remember my mom making a comment saying, "I'll be praying for that," and this person laughed. You know, in that moment, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I could get offended, right? It's an insult. But instead, I'm like, "God, get a hold of them. Like, they're going to see it. Keep fighting, because God's going to keep fighting too," right? Insult. You have hardships when you would never plan for life to look the way that it does in this moment. Your will has been thwarted. You are now faced with hardships. You have persecutions, Paul would say. Man, you ever wonder, I've heard someone say this, I won't call them out because they don't want me called out probably, but some things are self-explanatory. I had a person here recently who just kind of told me, "Why do I always got to be the guy to turn to the cheek? Like, why do I got to always be the guy to give grace?" Like, and you've been there, right? Like, when you've given somebody grace and grace and grace, and they keep pushing for more, you know? And you're like, "Okay, grace," you know? Like, it's running low, you know? And I get it, you know? But that is persecution. It's when you feel like you're constantly under this attack. Circumstances. When the world offers you trouble and there is seemingly nothing you can do to stop from being crushed by it. God's grace is our strength for every single one of those. We were never made to be strong in our own power. We're always to exist off of God's strength and His vitality. And let me say this, Paul is not referring in those four things to just dumb decisions, okay? I do believe that God will walk through us even through dumb decisions, but I've made some decisions in my life, and I've had friends make decisions, and they said, "Man, why did God let me get in trouble for this?" And I'm thinking, well, that was a dumb move, man. Like, He's probably trying to get you to knock it off, you know? Like, so dumb decisions aren't really a part of this, but there are these four other areas that he talks about. And here's what he says in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me, and He has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" Boy, let that settle in just for a moment. Three times Paul's praying a prayer saying, "God, won't you just take this from me?" Whatever that thing was. And God's response to him is, "No, my grace is sufficient." This morning, whatever it is you're going through, His grace is sufficient. His grace will be the greatest source of strength that you could find anywhere. "Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions and difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Look, Paul saw things that, man, I'm still praying. I'm like, "God, I want to see some of this stuff, man. You know, I've seen already some things, you know, happen that were absolutely unexplainable and incredible, but Lord, I want more. You know, I want to see these surpassing revelations, right? These revelations that are just, that you can't even explain them." Paul got to see and do so many things that if he was not careful, he could become puffed up, right? Be about me, start relying on his strength again. You know, look at my theology, look at the power that God uses me, and this is about me, right? And God, I really believe, was saying to him, "Paul, do you remember when I knocked you on your butt? Do you remember when we started this thing, and you started from this humbled place? You started from this place where you didn't even have your eyes to see, and you had to depend on me. Don't get up from that. Don't leave that place. Do all the ministry that you do from that spot, where you're depending on me and not your own." Our strength can so quickly shift back to self-sufficient thinking. Man, all of us have been there. You go through something hard, it's God, God, help me, right? And then you get out of that and you're like, okay, I'm good. Why do we think that even when things are good, we don't need God's strength? That's crazy. When our strength is tested, we wonder, why are bad things happening to me? Instead of remembering that the grace we have from God sustains even when the bad things come. Our strength is not of this world. Here's the thing this morning. When you face those four different areas, if you rely on your own strength, I really believe it'll be counterintuitive to what God would do in it. For example, if through insults, maybe you would rely off your own wit to come back at somebody who insults you instead of relying on God's strength, right, to show and demonstrate love and grace. What about if we relied on our own strength when we face the hardships of this world? Well, we might use our own wisdom, our own resources, our own ability to get out of that or mitigate the pain that comes through hardships. When maybe God is saying, watch what I'm going to do through this. Trust me. Walk with me through this and not your own understanding. You know, we might turn persecution around through some masterful intellect, right? I've gotten in arguments with people where I felt the Spirit of God telling me, stop, right? You're trying to win a debate with somebody when I'm trying to show them my heart. It's painful, but it's a good reminder. Circumstances, the truth is, in everything, we do not have the strength that is needed in our own to get through these things. We need God and His help. Man, nobody should be wearing a belt of intellect, you know, shoes of quick to judge, breastplate of I know everything, you know. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says He gives us Himself. Wear that with pride and walk through everything that we have to face. God has built into the new creation the ability to turn everything on its head. That's inside of you. Do the opposite of what your natural inclination is on this earth, and you might just find God on the opposite side working something out and doing something powerful. Don't fear trouble or persecution, slander, or anything else. Instead, use it as an opportunity for God's glory to be made known through it. When you find yourself weak, when you don't have the words, and know this, God's strength is in you. You have all that you need already inside of you, working on your behalf, going before you. His strength is enough. So I want to give you three quick things here, three ways you can kind of look to see if you're trusting in your own strength or you're trusting in God's strength. These aren't really the only three, by the way. You could probably make this list a mile long. It's not really about a list. But here's just three things that you can kind of look at as you discover whether you're operating out of your strength or out of God's. Number one is, what is your heart telling you? You know, your heart speaks to you. You can feel it sometimes. You know, I don't know about you, but if I get anxious or fearful or I'm going through something, your heart's telling you, right? It feels heavy. Just this past week, my heart has felt very heavy. I've walked through some things even just this week that have been very difficult. And I know that there's these moments where I listen to my heart. Well, what's my heart telling me? Is it fearful? Is it anxious? Is it burdened down? Is it weighted down? Or is it anticipating something that God is going to do? Am I waiting going, God, this is hard, this is heavy? Oh, but Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to do. Because our eyes and our attention should always be, our heart should always be, God, I know what I'm seeing, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And I got to tell you, this week when I had to put this to practice, it was very difficult. Because again, I struggle with this self-sufficiency. I want to do it on my own. And instead, I felt God telling me all week, Javen, stop. Stop. Number two, what's coming out of your mouth? Right? What are you saying? You ever just catch yourself saying something that you just have to sit there and go, wow, I need to stop and rethink this? I mean, I may be the only one, but what's coming out of your mouth? In the midst of the darkest places in your life, you can worship. Oh, and I encourage you to worship, even if you don't like music at all. You know, put some worship on. Put some worship on. Sometimes I feel like I'm too busy making excuses and complaining and saying things like, I guess I'll just pray, as if that's like the last resort. I've tried everything else. I guess I'll just pray. I'm learning to start with that. Let's pray first. We were on a mission trip in Belize, And I'll never forget, we had somebody in our team, we were seeing some ruins or whatnot, and the rocks can be very slippery. And one of our college students slipped and fell down, and she was really hurt, and she was really, really in a lot of pain. You know, and it was funny watching all of us. Our first inclination was get the med kits out, get the Band-Aids out, get the aspirin out, and go get help. You know, we're running around or whatever. And we turn around, and the missionary was standing there praying for her. And I'm like, right, you know. You feel really dumb, you know. I'm like, I was going to get to that, you know. But the truth was, that's not where my brain first went, you know. But it challenged me to start thinking, wait a minute, you're right. That should be my first, is to go to God for this. Number three, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Where is your focus? Is it on God and His ability? Or is it on your situation? Look, I know how the world works. The world will continue to push that thing in your face all the time, trying to keep your attention on that. When God instead says, man, get your focus up here. Remember, I can do anything. I walked on water for one. Like, I can do whatever I want. Like, I'm here, and I'm working in this, and I'm with you. You don't need to be afraid. Sit in His presence. Just let Him speak to you. I want to look at just two more scriptures, and then we're going to close. Look at James 1, 2 through 4. Look at what James says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How many of us can say that we do that? Like, I'm going to face this trial with joy. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'm not meaning to make any kind of division here this morning, but if you do read out of the NIV, I got to tell you, they missed it on this one, because if you read that same scripture in the NIV, that word testing is a verb. When the actual word that James used here was actually trustworthy, is what it means. So if you read this incorrectly, what you will see is that my faith is being tested. My faith is being tested. Lord, I'm going to show you that I've got the faith. Can I tell you, that's not what he's talking about. What's being written here is to say that you, and during trials that you face, during the things you go through, your faith, which is actually from God, God gives us faith, that same faith that He's planted inside of you, you will see that it is trustworthy, is really the heart of that verse. It's totally different meaning. Life's not about trying to muster up some kind of faith. You know, you hear people say, well, I don't have the faith right now. Yes, you do. Quit listening to the devil. Quit listening to that nonsense. You do have the faith because God put it there. Now watch as it is trustworthy. Bless you. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 says this. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The trials that we face are not from God. They are from this world. We walk through trouble in this world. But the awesome thing is that trouble has a way of revealing Christ in us. Think about that. I'm going to say that again. Trouble has a way of revealing Christ in us. What He has planted there, what He has done, when you go through something, Peter's saying, watch, watch. You're going to see how God comes alive in you. He's never left you. He's still there. And that is the source of our strength this morning. It's found in God's grace. We didn't do anything to deserve it. He amply gives it to you because He knows you need it, and He is a loving Father, and He wants you to have it. If you're here this morning and you are going through something just larger than life, boy, those verses right there are true. Instead of putting your focus on all of the things around it, look at the trustworthiness of the faith that God has placed inside of you. Look at how He is trustworthy and how He will continue to sustain you, because His grace is sufficient. You know, the crazy part is I once met with a counselor, and he asked me, he said, hey, based out of the things that you've been through, would you take it back if you could? Would you get rid of it? And I said, no. I mean, it was incredibly painful. It was I'm in counseling, for crying out loud. You know what I mean? Like, it was really hard. But I remember sitting there in this moment going, no, I wouldn't take any of it back, because I got to see what God did in it and around it. Remember, it's not just for you that you're going through what you're going through right now. It's for the people standing around you that are watching you and watching your story, and all of us will be encouraged as we see God do great things in your situation, because we know that our situation will come too. But I'll be encouraged because of what God did in your life. Would you guys just stand with me this morning? Don't be deceived by your own strength. Truth is, you don't have any. This morning, what I want to do is, they're going to sing that song, Blameless, one more time. And this is what I felt the Spirit was saying this morning as we were worshiping through that this morning, is that some of us here, we need to sing these words and mean every single bit of them. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I can get caught in just singing words that I'm not really processing and thinking about what I'm singing. And this is a song for someone this morning. You are blameless. He calls you worthy. He's not holding back anything from you. And then after this time of worship, we're going to have my prayer counselors come up here to the front. And if you've never received Jesus, if you've never received what he has to give you, this is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Man, don't keep trying to do this thing in your own strength. I mean, you will find out that it will not work. But come up here today and put your faith, so to speak, in him. So we'll come back up after this. But let's sing this, and I encourage you, especially if you're going through something, focus in on him.
Running straight to the one, singing over me your songs of salvation. Oh, yeah. No one can take this from me. I'm a child that you name free. Nothing will separate us. I'm held by you.
In this place today. Let us see it, God. I know that it's there. And Lord, I pray for every person here that's doing great, who's not going through anything right now, Lord, I pray that even then they would still keep their eyes on you. Lord, let us rest in you. Let us rest in what you have done and trust you, because you are trustworthy. This morning, if you're, again, in a place of either just pain and struggle, come up here this morning. We're going to pray with you, because that's not our last resort. That's our first resort. And we're going to trust that God is going to do something powerful right up here at this place in the front. If you're here this morning, you've never met Jesus, I'm telling you right now, oh man, there ain't nothing better. So come up here this morning and get prayed for as well. We'd like to just agree with you. It's all we're doing up here, just agreeing with you. As one last note, on the way out, if you'd remember to please give, the boxes are on the walls. And look, next week, invite somebody. Let's start off the new year by spreading this gospel of grace, right? We can do that just by inviting someone to come to church and come here. What I know has transformed my life and many of yours. You guys have a great new year. Be safe. See you next week.